Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, and I'm looking forward to have another opportunity to share some important aspects of our daily lives with you. There are so many challenges that we all face every day, and there is so much that is required of us to deal with. Some of these things need our immediate attention, and some could be handled at a later time. Nonetheless, every situation needs our attention, and it's supposed to be resolved and considered. We often face so many unknowns in our daily lives that take our times before they can really get resolved. We also have so many responsibilities that's laying a lot of weight on our shoulders through our work, our family situations, our home, in relationships, along with our friends, or just in getting by our daily routines or tasks, like taking care of our hygiene, shopping, and so on. All these busy schedules and action-packed lifestyles stop us from paying full attention to the needs of our communities and probably delaying us from accepting more social responsibilities. One of these needs that we're talking about tonight is being there for children or the youth in our communities who may not be fortunate enough to have the full support that they deserve, or having the role models that they can show them their appropriate choices. There could be the children who have lost caregivers, come from broken homes, live in poverty, placed under the care of social services, or just not having the social support because they're immigrants or just a member of society that is not receiving the appropriate attention. Of course, we all have our own priorities. We have our own children. We have our nieces, nephews, cousins, other children in the families that need a lot of attention from us. But have you ever thought about the responsibilities that we have towards these disadvantaged or underprivileged kids? Yes, I say we are responsible to care for them as well, because they are the future of our communities. If these kids are not attended to, what happens? They will not be able to create values for themselves, and therefore they will eventually become a burden to others, our society. They may become prone to self-sabotaging patterns like crime, addiction, and or psychological disorders, which make them social outcasts and problems for others. So you may agree with me that it will be to our own best interest to prevent such possibilities by being more involved, more diligent at the present time, rather than dealing with the problems later on and in a more tragic way. One of the ways that such care for these children becomes possible is to be involved in mentoring programs. And that is the main focus of our program tonight. Mentoring is actually creating a relationship in which a more experienced or more knowledgeable person can help in guiding a less experienced or less knowledgeable person. By building an ongoing mutual relationship with this person through learning, dialogue, and even some challenges, we can create an opportunity to help these youngsters have fun and gain new experiences. We can then help the security of our own future. I often talk about security, and security, it's not just being protected in our homes. It's emotional, it's financial, it's social, it's mental, it's spiritual, and it's the core of all of our needs. And providing or adding a sense of security to these children and their lives is the essence of mentoring. To learn more about mentoring and the benefits that it creates, I've invited two very special guests who can bring their own areas of expertise into this conversation. I've invited Ms. Aida Zarabizadeh, who is a licensed MFT, marriage and family therapist, with a wide variety of clinical experience ranging from working with children and adolescents in the schools to working with adults in the clinical setting and also in private practice. Aida earned her Bachelor of Science degree with an emphasis in organizational behavior from University of Southern California, and then she continued at Cal State Northridge to earn her Master's in Counseling and Marriage and Family Therapy. She successfully uses her logical and practical skills and combines it with her clinical training. She has become a caring, compassionate, and non-judgmental therapist with a very good reputation in the Los Angeles area. Aida is also involved at Providence Corporation, which is a clinic serving the severely mentally ill population, which at this place she works as a clinical supervisor. She's so passionate about her work that she also teaches, and she's a professor at Touro University Worldwide in the graduate level program. And since 2011, she's also been highly involved with NAMI, which is National Alliance for Mental Illness, as a volunteer, where she is a certified family-to-family education teacher. Together with her colleagues, she has started the very first family-to-family class for the Iranian community, the Iranian-American community in Los Angeles. My other guest is Ms. Nora Tavili, who has a master's degree in business administration, accompanied by a very successful period of years in both nonprofit and corporate sectors. Actually, she has been working in this field for 10 years. Her areas of expertise are in outreach, marketing, and fundraising, plus event planning. She is currently providing outreach and marketing assistance to the Jewish Big Brothers Big Sisters to help this organization reach the Persian Jewish community in Los Angeles. Nora is also the USA director for an organization providing programs to visually impaired children in Israel. She started her own nonprofit career running as the Speakers Bureau program for the Anti-Defamation League and by working for American Jewish University Communications Department. Well, Nora's hard work and nonprofit managerial skills has supported an upcoming event on March 6th, which she focuses on the need for mentoring in the Persian community in Los Angeles. Obviously, these needs are universal, and we are using this event as a footstep towards the greater community's awareness and support for securing the future of the children, us. Ms. Tavili has invited Aida and myself to join her in this valuable cause and in bringing psychological awareness to the possibilities for mentoring. So let's welcome this opportunity to talk more about mentoring and its effects on our communities and its hopeful future with both of them. Allow me to welcome both of our guests and begin to hear their thoughts on this important topic. Hello, ladies. Hello, Aida. Hello, Nora. Hi. Thanks for the time that you have allocated for this program. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
How are you?
Good.
Well, thank you for having us, Dr. Sadiq.
Good. Two beautiful voices. So, Aida, let me start with you. How
sure.
do you believe a mentor can help a child anyways? You know, we're talking whose kids are these anyways. So let me ask you, how are we helping these kids? What is mentoring doing for them?
It does a whole lot, actually. What it does is it, of course, doesn't replace parents. It doesn't replace therapy. But it provides the child with a positive outlet, a positive role model, a positive relationship where through that relationship and through that outlet they're able to express themselves. They are able to have something intimate going on. They're able to have some quality time together with someone that has vested interest and vested time and is engaging with them. And that does a lot to a child's sense of self. So those are the positive role model in their life. Studies have shown that they actually do better. They have more hope. And that positive experience will stay with them. You know, how often do you, you know, reminisce on your childhood? And what stays with you is that amazing teacher you once had, you know, that one teacher that had an impact on you. And that teacher is like a mentor. That teacher is like a mentor that Jewish Big Brothers Big Sisters provides, that can provide a child with such a positive sense that there is hope in life, and even through hardships that they may have endured in their families, that there is hope and that there are people that do care about them and have a vested interest in them.
Yeah, I agree that the point that you made about the teachers, I think that many of us can resonate with, you know, how important it is that we have someone in our lives that has done something or showed us a way or shared something with us that stays with us forever and help us in hard times. So I think that's a very valuable aspect of this work. Nora, since Ida mentioned the Jewish Big Brothers and Sisters, tell me, what is the overview of this program? What is going on with this organization and your involvement in it?
Sure. So just really briefly, so Jewish Big Brothers Big Sisters has been around for nearly 100 years. So this is something that obviously we've done for a long time, and we're very committed to continuing to provide these services. And as part of that effort, this past year, the organization has decided to do targeted outreach to specific communities. Myself specifically, I was hired to do outreach to the Persian Jewish community in Los Angeles. So with that goal in mind, we're, you know, trying to reach out to parents to educate them about our programs and to help them reach out for help. As you know, within this community, maybe other close-knit insular communities, there's sometimes trust issues. Sometimes they avoid seeking out help. So we're trying to educate the community and have them seek out for support, because our programs are free for the community, for children ages 6 through 18. And we would love families that are in need of a mentor for their child to take advantage of that. At the same time, we're also seeking more mentors from the community. We do have, you know, several families and mentors from the Persian Jewish community that are involved, but we're trying to get more of them involved. So we would love to engage the community more in our program as well. So with that effort, one of the things we're doing is doing a lecture series, and I'm so grateful to have you and Iva's support from the beginning to help us plan this event. We're very grateful and just looking forward to bringing this to the community.
Did you want to say when it is and where it is? So since you're talking about it, we can let our listeners know if they want to attend where and when they can do that.
Sure. So it's this Thursday, March 6th at 7 p.m. at Eretz Cultural Center, also known as Wilbur Synagogue. It's in Tarzana, 6170 Wilbur Avenue in Tarzana. Again, it's at 7 p.m. this Thursday. If you have not RSVP'd, it's not a problem. You're welcome to join us. It's going to be a wonderful event. And, again, we're very grateful to have yourself and Ida join us in this program.
It's going to be a great evening, I'm sure.
Yes,
go
we're
ahead.
Looking
Do you have a website or, you know, a Facebook page that our listeners can refer to or get more information? Can you announce that, please, as well?
Sure. Our website is jbbsla.org. That's J like junior, 3 B's like boy, S like Sam, L-A, which stands for Los Angeles.org. So www.jbbsla.org, where they can find more information. They can also call our hotline, speak to one of our staff if they're interested in more information. That number is 323-456-1157.
Great, thank you. Let me go back to Ida. Ida, I'm really curious to know why we're not using our relatives, the close relatives, to spend the extra time with the kids. Why are we going to organizations like JBBS, to find mentors over there? What's wrong with the family members? Why can't they do it?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, some people are fortunate where they have that extra help and they have that extra support system, and that's wonderful. You know, that's wonderful to have that. But some people are not in that kind of situation. And what if there's a divorce going on, a death, a terminal illness, and then their relative is also in their own misery and the parents are in their own misery and just too busy working, making ends meet. And so that additional help in the family is simply not possible. And another part of this is the added benefit of being able to connect and open up to someone that's outside of the family. So perhaps there's something going on in the family, there's some hardships, and the child or teenager may feel more comfortable speaking with someone that's outside of the family. Sometimes we feel more comfortable speaking with someone that's not part of our family because the issues that are at hand are related to the family. And as Nora said so nicely, and it's so true in our community, that we do have family secrets. We do have shame. We do have a lot of pressure to carry ourselves a certain way and be a certain way and, make everyone proud and make everyone, have this certain type of impression to give. But, you know, that can be exhausting. Can be very exhausting. Mm-hmm. And so when we are with our other family members, we need to keep up that facade, as I call it. But with someone that's a mentor that's outside of the family, then I can be myself. Then I can be free and I can just have fun. And I can just simply open up, and I won't feel judged, and I won't feel shamed, and I won't feel shunned. And so that's also another benefit of having someone outside of the family. And I want to stress how, you know, in our community, it could be something that is, you know, frowned upon, seeking for help, because, you know, we have such large families, and it's a beautiful thing. We're blessed to have such supportive families, such large families. At the same time, it's nothing to be ashamed of to have additional support. It's a different kind of support. And things are not the way they used to be. Back in when we lived in Iran, I'm just going off on another topic, but when we lived in Iran, there was neighbors helping and, you know, the grandmothers, aunts, and the cousins, and everyone just really helping each other. And things were just so much more simple and so much easier. We don't have that anymore, and it's not as easily accessible. And so there's more hard on the parents, more hard on the family. So making this mentorship program unbelievably amazing, and the fact that it's just such a beautiful service that's offered free for family members is just, that's really remarkable, and it's a blessing to have.
But we didn't have this kind of support back in those days. So how can we convince people that this is necessary now? How can we get them encouraged, get them going for it? As you said, there are a lot of stigmas, there are still a lot of taboos about asking for help. And if we are promoting mentoring in our community, wouldn't it be hard to convince someone to show their need for that support to other members of the community?
Sure. You know, sure, it's hard. Everything's hard in the beginning. And, you know, thank goodness we've come a long way. And, you know, our community is doing amazing work. And I really like to thank Dr. Holakwi for this. I really would, because he is the person that really opens up our community to mental health and seeking out support services and just being open to mental illness and being open to going to therapy, and that things are not the way it seems. There's really so much more behind the closed doors and the fancy cars and the fancy clothes. There's just so much more that goes on, and we all have pain. This is not foreign to anyone. We all have, you know, there's divorce going on, there's death, there's illness, terminal illness. I think every single person I know knows someone or that has, you know, has been diagnosed with cancer or has, you know, lost someone due to cancer. These are things that we're all going through. This is not foreign. Mm-hmm. This is pain. This is pain we all go through. And so why have to continue struggling? And so what I want to say to families is that because things are not the way they used to be, let's open ourselves to something different. You know, let's try something different and say, you know, our community, we always say how, you know, things are just tough. Life is tough now and things are just harder. And, you know, back in the day, Iran, things were just so much more simpler. So let's try something different. Let's see what we can do. Maybe we do need this extra help. Maybe we do need this extra support. Let's try it out. Let's see what happens.
Question to Nora, because she knows about this. She's been working with this organization for over a year now. And so, Nora, how are you going after this Persian Jewish community and through your outreach program, bring them along? What is your tactic? What is your way of getting into the system?
Luckily, we do have, you know, like I said, some families are already in the program, but I think one of the main ways we've tried to do outreach and we've, you know, done fairly good, it's coming along, is building partnerships with different organizations that are actually referring clients to us. So that's been really great because they already have the trust in the community. You know, and they're the ones who are referring people to us. And as an example, that's the Iranian Jewish Federation, Jewish Family Services, the Yaron Division. These are some of the organizations that we've formed partnerships with that are referring prospective clients to us. We're also have done speaking engagements throughout the city and the valley at synagogues, at community events. We've done quite a bit of social media outreach. You know, we've done, you know, just been out there, you know, at where the community is and trying to get the information out. We've ran public service announcements. You know, we're really trying to reach them in every avenue possible. And, you know, that brings us to the live lectures, another way for us to reach the community and tell them more about the program, you know, who qualifies, what's our process. We want them to understand better the process, so maybe they feel better, so, you know, they understand what the process is like. And if I may, I would love to just briefly touch on that, go over what the interview process is like, how a family or a mentor gets qualified with Jewish Faith
Brothers.
Sure, go for it. So when a prospective family reaches out to us, their child, or what we refer to as a little, has to meet one of our criteria. And these are one of the things we're going to talk about at the lecture, but just a quick overview of the general types of families that come to us. Are families who come from single-family homes, whether it's as a result of a divorce, death, or other issue, they come to us. There's families with special needs siblings. So maybe one of the siblings is special needs, therefore the other sibling is not getting as much attention and guidance from the parents as they need, and they really have a need for an additional adult role model. And with the Persian Jewish community and other immigrant communities, there is sometimes a difference in degree of acculturation between parents and children that a mentor can help with. And, you know, there's various other issues. I don't want to get into all the different things, but these are the main types of families that come to us. You know, it's not all black and white. There's people that fit in somewhere in between, but we basically have an interview with you, initial interview, just to find out why you're seeking help, why you feel that your child needs a mentor. And then if you meet our criteria, we set up an interview in person. We get to know you, your need. We ask you about your child. We interview even the child. We find out about their interests, their hobbies. We learn about their personality. Therefore, we can find a mentor that best matches them, that they can form the best friendship and bond with. And as far as our mentors, who we refer to as our bigs, they have to be 21 and up, and they have to go through a criminal background check, a fingerprinting, a reference check, and a very extensive interview process where we ensure that not only this mentor is a good role model, but, you know, they have a clean record, that they're, you know, doing well, that they can be trusted. And we take quite a bit of time to do this, so we have a trusted role model for these children.
That was my next question that you answered. I think that's one of the most important aspects of mentoring, because once we have these kids, you know, we need people who are responsible, people who are good citizens and socially approved, valuable members of the community. So that makes a huge difference of who you are bringing to these kids. So I'm glad that you explained this process and how it goes. Actually, I got to tell you something. The very first time that I heard about your organization was through my own son, as he had become a mentor for your organization. And that's the first time I heard about it. And then I thought it was such a great idea that this organization is doing this for this community in Los Angeles. So thank you for all the good work you guys are doing. Did you have anything else to add, Nora?
No, thank you. And thank you for your involvement. We're very lucky to have people such as your son involved with the program. So, and there's just, as you can know, there's so many wonderful members in our community that are so successful, so wonderful. And, like, you know, it would be great to have them more involved with this mentoring program. So,
and I think it's very rewarding the mentors as well. I think that's the aspect that we have not talked about yet, because as much as the children are enjoying this relationship, I think the mentors gain a lot from this also, by feeling the value that they're bringing to these kids and the opportunity that they can teach someone what they have learned, the fun and the different ways of interacting with somebody that they really didn't have to do anything for, but they're doing this out of their own heart and the joy that they want to bring to these people. I think that has such a great value for both sides.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, mentors of various age groups, and I know from some of the younger ones in their 20s and 30s, they've expressed that this really helped them get a sneak peek of how it will be to be a parent. Like, you know, so it's such a wonderful thing that they're having to have someone rely on them. So it's definitely a great, great rewarding program to be involved.
Can I ask you a very important question about the kids that end up asking for mentors? I'm guessing that a lot of these kids endure hardships at home or at some point losses or, you know, going through different situations, as Nora was explaining, the feud in the family or the catastrophes or parents being in jail or many different ways that they can have, you know, a need for a good mentor. So how are we bringing them along, and how do we see them when they prosper, when they get over this hurdle? What happens? Where do they become? Where do they end up?
Okay. So basically, when they go through these hardships, whether it's, you know, as we talked about, death, terminal illness, you know, divorce, natural disasters, a lot of financial issues that come up, you know, kids are very resilient. They are resilient. And what helps them get through these hurdles is this positive support system. And I've seen this with adults as well when I work with adults, is those with a positive support system can overcome the greatest hurdles in life, because they know that they have someone that has their back, and they know that, in effect, that they're going to be okay. So for a child that's growing up, they'll know that they have that consistent, positive relationship that's ongoing. That's a huge, huge deal for them, and that just gives them this feeling that there is hope. And there's something, you know, for them to look forward to. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. And there's this positive light that is just being their cheerleader for them and letting them know that they're doing well and they're going to continue to do well, and they're going to be a positive influence in society. And they're going to, you know, be a, you know, asset, you know, in society for themselves. So I think that that's how they're able to overcome hurdles in life. And so if they're lacking that, then, of course, then they can get into, as you spoke, Daniel, in the very beginning about how they can get involved with so many, you know, at a young age as they are, you know, adolescents, junior high, elementary school, they can get involved with drugs, sex, smoking, you know, all these kind of things, you know, gangs, all sorts of things. And they can get involved in those things if they don't have that support, if they don't have some type of positive support system. And so that's the way I've noted.
So, I think that is really one of the main reasons that single parents or families who do not find that appropriate support for the children may really seriously look into mentoring, because the chances of these children having trouble is getting much higher than other kids, you know, dealing with drugs, alcohol, bullying, you know, becoming social outcasts. It's really easy. So if we can provide them with that kind of a support early on, imagine what kind of problems we can avoid, how we can save our own communities, and avoiding many, many, many other problems that we are going to receive from them if we don't do this. So it becomes really important. So the second part of my question was that how do you see them prosper? How do you define prosperity for these kids?
The way I define prosperity is that they can take the hardships in their lives and they can turn it into fruits of their labor. So basically, they can use it as a learning lesson. They can use these as, you know, coping mechanisms. And so, yes, they've had hardships. Yes, life was not easy. But they've learned through these positive relationships and the positive support they've had that they can do great things and that they can do well. And they can in turn give back to community. So when you talk about to end this cycle, yes, it's not only great for the community, but also good for their generation, because it all goes back. It becomes like a cycle. So if you do what you can to stop this cycle when you can, then it ends there, and then, you know, the after effects is, you know, all, you know, positive, so that when they get married and when they have children, then they know how to cope well and they know how to have relationships and they don't isolate. And that's the part that I really wanted to stress about that I haven't been able, that I haven't touched on, is the fact of isolating, how our kids isolate so much nowadays. And so if we leave them alone, that's what happens. They are by themselves, and God knows what they're capable of doing to themselves or to other people, and that's where bullying comes in. And so, but if we join forces and if we get them, you know, paired up with someone that's amazing, like these mentors, then they're no longer isolated and great things can happen.
I think you're touching on something really valuable, which is the sense of loneliness, the isolation, not feeling connected to others because of their situation or their disadvantages. So feeling connected to the community through these mentors is such a valuable way of understanding that there are people in this world who care about me. There are people who want to come a long way, take their time to spend with me, have value for me, and that sense of connection helps them to relieve such sense of loneliness and isolation and become hopeful, become more positive in reaching a better future. I think that is one of the most important aspects of mentoring, giving these people hope, giving the opportunities that otherwise may not exist for them. Nora, I'm sure you see a lot of this happening, you know, on your daily work, and how these kids may come, you know, with feelings of depression, anxiety, or other emotional debilitating situations that that loneliness or feeling of isolation creates. And then you see them probably to you or through your work and the work of your organization, that you see smiles on their faces. You see how they may change. Have you witnessed any of these? Do you have anything to share with us about these families?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I know, you know, one of the families who has two children in the program, she had lost her husband, and, you know, hearing from her what an impact this mentor, their mentors have had on her children is just incredible, you know. And I mean, it's a twice a month meeting, but our program is a minimum 1 year requirement, because we do take a long-term approach and we do want to see results. And on average, our matches stay beyond that. Our average match is actually 4 years and up. So we really work to make this long-term relationship, and we see what an impact it's had on the families. We're so grateful for that and happy that we can, you know, help families service. And just encouraging the community to seek out for help, and we would love to help any families that may need a mentor for their child.
Great. Ida, let's start wrapping up. Why don't you go ahead and give us a wrap around of what we discussed from your side and your point of view?
Sure. Thank you, everyone. I really enjoyed our discussion this evening. And I'm just so passionate about this topic. And just throughout, I just had a big smile on my face because it's very near and dear to my heart, this topic. And I know people personally that went through this mentorship program. My own sister, when we came to the States, she had a big sister. And she still talks about her big sister today. So it's an incredible program, and I think that we're so blessed in this country that we have these services and that we can take advantage of them. And I really, really encourage parents to, you know, look into this service, look into this resource that's available to us, and ask questions if you're not sure, because you never know how much it can help. And that's basically
thank you,
it.
Ida.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you, Ida. So, Nora, let's turn the microphone to you, and why don't you go over the program on March 6th one more time, give that information, and any other plugins that you want to do for your organization.
Sure. Wonderful. So, again, the event is this Thursday, March 6th at 7 p.m. at Wilbur Synagogue, Erith Cultural Center at 6170 Wilbur Avenue in Tarzana. It's about an hour and a half program. It's free to everyone. We are looking forward to having you there. I'll be joined with one of my colleagues who is a mentoring specialist. She's one of the individuals who interviews the families and mentors that will go over in detail about our program and the process. So we're very much looking forward to having you join us and having you speak to the community about such an important topic. So I look forward to the event. For more information, please visit our website at jbbbsla.org. You may inquire about the program by emailing beabig@jbbsla.org. That's beabig@jbbsla.org. Individuals can also reach out to me personally. My email is Nora, N-O-R-A, at jbbsla.org, or you may call 323-456-1157. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm very grateful and looking forward to the event on Thursday.
Beautiful. And let me share what I think about all of this. I think what you guys are doing is beautiful, and I think the rewards are enormous. We can see the results every day through any of these matches that you guys are making. I want to encourage people to become mentors, because I know we all have a lot to do. We can or not getting involved in situations because of our own schedules. But I want to encourage you to think about giving a hand, because by giving that type of a support, you're not only supporting others, you're also supporting yourself. You feel better about your life instead of wasting time on a lot of things that create nothing but problems, laziness, overeating, indulgences. We can spend that time in supporting these kids. Thank you again for both of you. Thank you to our listeners.
Thank you.
And I look
thank
to
you.
another time that we get together and we can discuss more psychological matters in our community. Thanks again, ladies.
Okay. Thank you,
Dr.
Sissy.
So much.
Bye, Nora. Bye, Doctor. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.